How's it going?
Did you know that the Seahawks won the Super Bowl?
Did
Megan?
They did.
They won the Super Bowl.
Hell yeah. Like three weeks ago, but still. Hell yeah.
You're right. Because this is going to air.
I don't know when this is going to air.
Yeah, you're right. Probably like 3 weeks ago. Either way. In recent times. So it's very exciting.
It is very exciting. And that was a great night.
It was a great night. We all went over to my mom's house and had some delicious food and Jello shots and all the fun things.
Good talks. If you are, how do you know if you're a millennial? Did you scream when Ricky Martin came on screen?
So good.
My daughter looked at me like, huh?
Everyone in the room was like, oh my God, is everyone okay?
It was just the four of us screaming.
I do have to say, I really think they missed an opportunity to play Livin' La Vida Loca for a split second.
I know. Just a minute.
Just a minute.
It's just like it would have just made all of our hearts go pitter-pat.
Just for the millennial hearts. Yep. Like, just let us have it. But it's okay. It was still good. And Lady Gaga was phenomenal.
Of course.
Exciting. And,
Although, what were her arms doing?
I have no idea. I didn't.
Her arms were being weird.
I don't know. She's odd.
She's amazing.
She is very amazing.
I bet she's a lunatic.
Oh, she's absolutely a lunatic. 1,000%. Yeah.
Yes.
That's Mr. Boo Boo's, like, what do you call it?
Freebie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not freebie, but it's like a hall pass.
Hall pass.
Hall pass. He loves Gaga.
Who's your hall pass?
I don't know. I don't really have one. I know.
I don't think I have one.
It's like, and mine changes.
There's
like,
people that I love. But
I just don't have a celebrity that I'm just like, oh my God, that's my everything.
I mean, my favorite celebrity is definitely not my hall pass.
Right.
Steven Tyler,
pass. I love Michael Bublé, but I love his voice, but like, I don't know that that's like my hall pass.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, if I'm going to hall pass, I'm like going
right.
Very, very, I don't know who.
Right.
I'll have to think about that
think
one.
About that. We'll get back to you.
Who would
our hall passes be?
Yeah. No idea. But if you have any good suggestions, I like tall, dark, and handsome. Oh, mine, obviously. I think mine would be like a fictional book character.
Yeah.
Like, that's where
right.
I would be.
I think because of how my brain works, I think, well, there's this person, but they're married. They have kids. You know, like, I go into...
Well, and even that, I don't have any in my life, like, that I find, like, that attractive.
Right.
And even though I don't know
they
what
have
these
to be fictional.
Book boyfriends or book men
Aragorn,
look like,
son of Arathorn. There we go.
Perfection.
There we go.
Mine would be Rhysand, which I know, like, from Akatar,
yeah,
or Castile from Blood and Ash, or those are the two main ones off the top of my head. But yeah, one of those two.
If you guys, you might hear Jandy Bears in the background because we didn't have the heart to lock her out.
No, she wanted to be, we're daytime recording and no one else is in the house and she needs to be a part of all of the things.
Don't you?
Is the door open?
It's open.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so she can go in. All right, so I have a joke that is not really a good one, but I have no idea.
I didn't find a good joke today either.
I know. This one's for people who, never mind, you'll get it at the end. Okay. A man went to visit his dad at the hospital. The doctor says, "Your dad has been pronounced dead." The man goes, "Oh no, I've been saying it wrong my whole life." Saying dad is dead. Like
did.
Saying dead, did. Dad, dead. Maybe you have to say it with a Kiwi accent. Dead.
Try it again. Try it again with
no,
a Kiwi.
I don't know how to do that. Your dad is dead. That wasn't it.
Oh, that's not it.
That's not even a good joke.
It's not a good joke.
There's one that's not even a joke.
I can't believe we're out of jokes. Y'all are...
Well, I have one. It's all shits and giggles until someone giggles and shits.
That one's good.
Or diarrhea. It's hereditary. It runs in your genes.
Yeah, I like that one.
But it's not like a punchline joke. There you go. So I got those ones. Saved it with those two. You're welcome.
Still one of our best jokes is the one that homeless guy told us up in Seattle, the two stuck-up cunts.
Oh, that was a solid one.
That was like
But honestly, I re-listened, or I like edited our Appalachian episode in the one about the Heimlich maneuver. That's still a funniest fucking joke that I've
that
heard
was,
in a long
that
time.
Was good.
That's a good one. It's a long one, but it's fucking
it
funny.
It was worth it. It was worth
it was
the
so
time.
Worth it. I need to tell it to my mom.
Heimlich maneuver.
I actually is on my to-do list to pull it to put on the socials today because it was so good.
So good.
There's also a part of it that you probably don't remember, but where I think I told you this. I go on this tangent about our photo shoot for this
season.
Yes. And
yes,
you need to listen to it just for that because it is so... I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Because I'm sober.
Felicia came out.
Felicia, she just came right out.
She came right out, and there's no putting her back.
Yeah, I sent you the clip, which I kept in, where I burped like a... I mean,
oh,
I belched.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you guys would have listened to it by now, but...
Holy shit. If you haven't listened to that
usually
episode,
we take out the big burps, and that one was
it.
Just...
And
it came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, and I just was like, Felicia, the demons were coming out of her, or something like that, and I was just... It was just... You told me to be on one, and I said...
Checkmate.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, it was good. One.
Hello and welcome to Lunatic Soup, the podcast where we go into all things wild, weird, and unknown. We're your host, Meg.
And I'm Raina, ready to rip some Lunatic Soup.
Let's go.
What are we drinking today, Megan?
Well, since it is 10 a.m., not alcohol.
No,
this is actually, this is so good. I said I was going to bring over a LaCroix, and she goes, I got you.
I got you.
And you tell us this concoction, because it's amazing.
We are drinking a ginger beer, but it has lime juice in it, and then I have this flavorless caffeine that I get off Amazon that you put in it so you can put as much in as you want. So
it tastes like a mule.
Yeah, it tastes like a mule.
It tastes like a beautiful mule.
I think I love that about ginger beer. It has that like spice or like little bit, so it kind of tastes like you're drinking alcohol when you're not, like if you want to be sober for something you normally would be drinking. But also, it's just refreshing as fuck. It's one of
like,
my favorite
drinks.
This
is 10 out of 10. I got to see if Costco has that Fever Few ginger beer.
Yeah,
because
that's what it is.
They've
had it
a lot, and it's really cheap when it's there.
I looked for my cocktail classes last week, and I did not see it. But let me know.
You know what they did have? I was there yesterday. Do you remember when Danny and Naomi were here from Australia, and we went to the Asian store in Kent?
Yep.
And we got those sodas, the Ramune.
With the bead, you put
the marble down.
They have them.
And it's like a big box for like $14.
Okay,
it's not that
I'm going. My kids are obsessed with those.
Yeah, my kids love them too. Maybe I'll get them for Valentine's Day.
That's actually what I'm thinking too.
That's a good
idea. Because yesterday went to Five Below. Meg?
Nothing?
No.
Everything?
You have to go. Everything.
Because the only time I've been there, it was like garbage.
What?
When I went there was like nothing on the shelves. It must have been like they were just ransacked.
Fully stocked of everything. It was the most insane things, like knockoff Legos that were like, you know, $5, but very intricate. They had like, I got the girls, they each wanted pick pads. You know what a pick pad is?
Mm-mm.
It like is basically a silicone thing with little beads in it.
Ew.
They asked
but
for
awesome.
It. $5, got those. They had a tongue version. I didn't do that. They had all of this like makeup that was dupes. They had full things of perfume that were dupes of like very expensive one.
Ooh.
$5.
So you know what is over near Five Below?
Fierce.
Mm-hmm.
They just opened
one
in Federal Way too. A Five Below.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, I did see that. But no, Fierce is over there. Yeah.
And our good friends Mike and Maria.
I know. We need to go over and see them. Mm-hmm. They showed up too. I had a cocktail event this last Friday that Meg assisted me with.
Always fun.
We had a great time. It was fun. Good turnout. And yeah, our lovely friends Mike and Maria came, which was fun to have a Lunatic Soup Raina drinking crossover. Raina drinking crossover. Is that what that would be?
Is that what it is? I don't know. a Lunatic Soup. Yeah.
Raina mixology crossover. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we had like your friend Amy came. And
yes.
Like just a bunch of then random people who are like a part of
it. And then we got together at a bar downtown after, and it was just a good night.
It was so much fun. I had one of the best drinks that I've had in a long time. It was like this gin drink that I need to figure out.
The fishy thing? Mm-hmm. Well, I took a picture of it thinking that we could recreate it. So do you want me to read the ingredients?
Because it was in a really cool glass that looked like a fish. It was super heavy. And I had two of them, which never a good idea for Raina to have multiple kinds of liquor or two liquors in a night. I had a lot.
You had a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's in a fish and it's called a Sour Puff Girl. And I thought, ooh, that's really good. I'm just going to snap a picture. And then I forgot about it. And I was so excited the next day to be like, ooh, let's recreate this. Here we go. One part Bubbles, Blossom, and Buttercup. One part Mrs. Puff. Trust us on this one. That's it.
Doesn't it say something at the end, though?
It does say Hendrix Gin, Lemon, Simple Syrup, and Wonder Foam.
Yeah.
But it's very, what
are you supposed to do with that?
Would that be like a gin sour?
I think that's what it was. And maybe I've just never had a gin sour, which is insane because I fucking love gin. But now
it was a 10 out of 10.
I'm going to recreate it because I want that again. It was so good.
We need to get the fish.
I know we need to get the fish. One of the people who came to the event, she offered to smuggle one in her purse, and I was like, that is very sweet of you, but I feel bad. Those are expensive.
You could tell they were nice.
Fun.
It was
fun,
a huge ass drink too.
It was huge.
And then I had a cider that was an orange cranberry.
Oh, it was really good.
It was very dry, and you couldn't necessarily, it was just a tart drink.
Yeah,
you couldn't necessarily pick up the orange or the
it almost tasted like a beer.
It did. It was almost like a sour beer.
I remember that. And it was like, but it was delicious. Yeah. We had a good time.
10 out of 10. It was a great night.
Great night.
We had the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It was a good
weekend. Then we both got deathly ill.
And we did.
Shocker.
And then my daughter allegedly broke her thumb this last 2 weeks ago by slamming it at a car door, and finally went in and took her to get x-rays because the pediatrician was like, ah, she's still in pain, go do it. Then we get the report, it has a fracture in it. So we go to see a specialist yesterday and they're like, no, there's no fracture. And I'm like, cool, awesome.
Here's a bill for $500.
Exactly. And I said, go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. I'm about to, though.
I'm about
Anyways,
to.
But
do
yeah,
it.
fun mom life shit.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
So this is a wild, weird, and unknown. I feel like we've had some good episodes. Not that these wild, weird, and unknowns aren't good episodes, but they're like less prep.
Yeah, we just read.
We just read.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually it's more prep for me. Less.
Well,
yeah, because I normally don't prep for an episode, but
less prep for me.
Yes. All right. Are you going to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So I got mine. It's from a website called Listverse, and it's an article of 10 eerie stories of past lives. That came out weird.
Mm-hmm.
I can go real low with this voice. Real raspy.
Now you're like me, because mine is like that all the time, I feel like. It can get real low.
All right. So this is this one's called This Is My Ship, and there are videos that come with it, so you can like watch a little documentary almost, but I'm just going to read it, of course. When William Barnes was 4 years old, he drew a ship with four smokestacks. He showed the drawing to his parents and told them, this is my ship, but she died. Soon he started insisting that his family call him Tommy instead of William, and he wouldn't stop talking about two brothers and the other family members. None of what he was saying made any sense to his parents, and the situation escalated when William started having nonstop nightmares about a huge ship, freezing water, and steel slabs falling on top of him.
Titanic!
Oof. The nightmares continued, and it was only at the age of 25 that William sought help. Only, I feel like that's a long ways off. Like this happened as a kid and you're only getting help at 25.
I mean, his parents obviously didn't believe it or something.
Mm.
I don't know.
He underwent hypnosis, and during the session, he could hear himself arguing about the ship's design. As soon as he awoke from the hypnotic trance, he told the counselor, "My name is Tommy Andrews." Soon the fragmented pieces of William's nightmares started forming a complete picture. He became increasingly convinced that he was the reincarnation of Titanic designer Thomas Andrews.
Whoa.
William Barnes was born on the date the Titanic sank. And during hypnotic age regression sessions later in his life, he spoke with a heavy Irish accent while detailing the sinking of the ship and how he died on deck. William now has his own website on which he details his experiences and presents proof of his claim to reincarnation fame.
Wow.
That's interesting.
That one is interesting.
That one is very interesting.
There are some, well, because I Googled this before I went to Reddit, and I found some, like, there's so many that are, like, not necessarily credible, but, like, also very well-known things where
a little kid wouldn't know.
Where a little kid wouldn't know. And it took the world by storm because they're like, how the fuck would this child know these things?
Yeah.
And that's what's wild about these. It's like,
I think reincarnation for me, I don't disbelieve it.
Yeah.
It's a very hard concept for me. And I think just because growing up how I grew up.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up Mormon. We all know that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very tough concept for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah. And for me, that's like fully what I believe. Is that like,
I'm pretty good with abstract thinking, I feel like. But this one, I don't discount it.
I mean, that's
fine. It's hard for me to wrap my head around it.
Yeah. And for me, like, I don't think that every soul reincarnates, but I also think that
you have a choice.
Yeah. I think
you
do. Oh, 1,000%. Because I think, like, the way that I understand it, or like that I believe it, is that there's, you know, this place on the other side, which is the other side, and you choose to come and have a human experience, which is Earth, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And you can choose to do that experience, or you can choose to be like a guardian angel, essentially, or like a spirit guide.
So, like,
kind
different
of thing. There's different things that you choose, and you choose it with the people. So you will choose, like,
oh man, you mean I chose to be here with you?
Uh huh.
Oh,
that's
shit.
The bad news. I know. Really fucked up.
Really fucked up.
It's like Shannon and I are very convinced that we were twins in another life.
Like, I believe that.
I mean, I've been told it from someone I did a like Akashic records thing, which goes back, but it just is, we have too many things that are just like bizarre for us to not have been. And then we also think it was like I was once either her mother or older sister at one, but you can have multiple reincarnations with the same people.
I want to learn about mine. I want to learn about
it's
what
like my mom did one, and she was told that she was in the
the Titanic.
No, Nazi Germany.
I was gonna say, my next thing was World War II.
Yes, and she was killed as a child there, and she had such a horrific life that she was afraid to come back, and that my grandma came to her and said, I promise that if you come back, you're going to have a good life. Yeah. And so, like, and my mom, yeah, did a past life regression. I got told that Kinley and I were Vikings together. That's my oldest daughter. Yeah, from a long time ago, and that I had to.
I want to be a Viking.
I know. Well, you probably were, because you love Viking.
I love Vikings.
So it comes, like, things that you're interested now in this life, like, come from your past lives that you've experienced. But also, like, people can choose to not do this. There's also, like.
I bet I was a witch. Or burned
as
one.
That's how we know we were. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We know we were. But also.
Do you remember we posted that thing, like, how did you become friends or something?
Yes, and we were burned at the stake.
In a past life. And people were, like, messaging us, being like, yeah. Wait, were you really?
And we're like, no. We're joking.
I mean, we could have been, but.
Well, we're just like doing it to be funny. But like, yeah, we probably fucking were. That's why we're doing this.
I mean.
Just saying. But also what's wild about it is this is like this girl that I went to and time is not linear.
No,
so like
right.
You allegedly can be living multiple lives. Your soul can be doing it on multiple different timelines at the same time.
Does that mean my old body is buried somewhere on Earth?
Yes. But also, like, it means you can also be living life in the 70s right now in another.
Weird.
Like, it's very hard to wrap your head around. But when you do, it's very weird. It's fucked up. It makes your, like, it hurts my brain.
Well, because it's like a different dimension. Yeah. And, like, all the dimensions are on top of each other sort of thing. But.
Yeah, it's very, but when you, so many things, like, all come together with that it's I like the way that sounds and how it feels and how it
I wonder
like,
if that has to do with the Mandela effect.
Yes, it does. That's what they say. Because you're jumping timelines. There's so many different timelines.
I had a Mandela effect experience today.
Did you?
What? I did. I was online and I saw Jason Bateman and he was at the premiere of his movie Zootropolis 2. And the signs all said Zootropolis and all this stuff. I'm like, wait, no, it's Zootopia. And I was, like, freaking out for a minute, and I went to the comments, and it's because it was, I think it was in India, and, like, they're named different things in different countries,
yes,
but I'm
are.
Like,
yeah.
No, it's Zootopia. It's Zootopia.
Well, I mean, one of my favorite ones is the fucking Monopoly Man.
He had a monocle.
Monocle. I distinctly remember the Ace Ventura second movie. There's this bald man, and he comes into this party, and he knocks him unconscious. And flips him upside down and does this like, you cannot pass go. You cannot collect $200. In that movie, he had a monocle. I watched it the other day with the girls.
He had
no monocle. And no monocle in the game. Like, fucks me up.
I remember him with a monocle.
I know. Or like Fruit of the Loom.
Fruit of the Loom had a cornucopia.
Yeah. And everyone swears by it.
Yeah.
Anyways, so.
We should do one on that.
Yeah.
That's what we should do.
We should do that. That
we
be
should
fun
do
one.
That
Mandela
one.
Effect.
Yeah, we can just go through all of them.
There's so many.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep changing because we're like, timelines are jumping.
Yeah.
I would like to go to a timeline not with what's going on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That's what I would like. But also, like, a lot of the things that I've seen people who are spiritual saying is, like, our souls chose to be here for this timeline to experience this because we basically, you set out to be, like, part of the ultimate.
Okay, Jan. Uh-huh. Like,
I fucking hate it. Take me back. Okay. So I have one that I found. It's a popular story, but then I asked ChatGPT to give me it in it because it was a very long article.
Okay.
Give it in a more concise. So it is still a little bit long, but I liked it because the guy looks exactly like the past life guy. So
you have pictures?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. I'm excited.
So this is the story of Ryan Hammonds. So in 2009, in a small town of Oklahoma, a 3-year-old boy named Ryan Hammonds started having nightmares.
Oh, this is a new one.
That's a new one. That's why I liked it too. It's like very, modern day. Well, 2009, whatever. Not that modern, but not normal toddler.
17 years ago.
Shut up, them. He would wake up screaming, clutching his chest, saying his heart was going to explode. And his mother, he told his mother that he was big before he lived in Hollywood and that he used to be someone else. At first, his mom, Cindy, brushed it off. Kids have imaginations. But Ryan didn't just say vague things. He was very specific. He talked about going to Paris. He said he had three sons. He described living in a big house with a swimming pool. He said he worked in movies. He was not a star, but in the pictures. He kept insisting that he needed to go back to Hollywood. There wasn't much Hollywood influence in their home. They didn't live in L.A. They weren't a film family, but Ryan became so obsessed with old black and white movies. Also, they lived in Oklahoma. Where the fuck is he learning about?
Oklahoma.
Yeah, no. Okay, one night, Cindy checked out a book from the library about classic Hollywood, and they flipped through it together, and Ryan suddenly pointed to an image from the 1930s film. He put his finger on the man in the background and said, "That's me. That's who I was." The man was a famous, wasn't a famous household name. He was an extra in a 1932 film. Cindy reached out to the Division of Perceptual Studies, where psychiatrist Jim B. Tucker investigates children who report past life memories. Tucker took the case seriously. Through film historians and old Hollywood records, they identified the man in photos as Marty Martin, born as Morris Kalinske, a former Broadway dancer who later became a Hollywood agent. And this is where it gets unsettling. Ryan had already told his mother more than 50 specific details about his other life, things like he had three sons, he had a large house at the pool, he went to Paris frequently, he changed his names, he knew famous actors. When researchers tracked down Martin's surviving daughter, many of those details checked out, and some were obscure, not easily found online. One of the strangest moments came when Ryan said that when you die, you see God, and then you come back as a baby. He also seemed confused about time. He couldn't understand why Martin had died decades ago, but it felt like it hadn't been that long. As Ryan got older, around the age of 6, the memories began to fade, which is something that researchers claim happens often in these cases. Oh, the window tends to close by age 7 or 8. By the time he was older, Ryan said he just felt like himself again. No more Hollywood longing, no more desperate need to go home. Skeptics argue that his mother may have intentionally influenced him, or that maybe details were generalized enough to match. Others point out that Marty Martin wasn't a major celebrity, which makes the match feel much more like wishful fantasy. Or much less like wishful fantasy. Mm-hmm. There's no smoking gun, no scientific proof. But there's a 3-year-old boy who insisted that he used to dance on Broadway, travel to Paris, and live in Hollywood in a big house. And he pointed to a forgotten extra in the 1930s film and said, that was me. And then it just as suddenly as it began, it stopped. Now, I'll show you this picture. I'm going to go scroll for a second.
So one is going to be Marty.
Yeah, you'll be able to tell. Well, because you'll see it's modern day, so it's like when he was older.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Isn't that insane?
Wow. Okay. That's pretty cool. They have the same like distinctive features, like dimples and the way their cheeks are and the way their mouth is and the shape of their face.
Yeah, they both have a very round face. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not identical, but they are.
No, but if you said that was
similar.
His grandfather, I'd believe you.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like, that's crazy.
But that one was what that one got me because I
like that
well,
one.
Me too, because it's just that's an insane one. Like, I know.
Ooh, I like it.
I know.
I like that a lot.
That was a fun one. We could do a fucking billion episodes on there.
There's so many. Now I really want to do a past life reading.
An
Akashic record thing.
Very cool.
How do you find someone who's legit for that? Oh, you have one.
I have one that I went to. And she literally.
Is she from Australia?
No. She lived in Miami at the time. Her name is Madison something. I'd have to find her again. I found her on TikTok. I worked with her for like 6 months. And I would do like every 2 weeks, I'd do a meeting with her. And she would do like Reiki healing on me. She would do like a bunch of stuff. And a lot of the shit that she did, like she told me that she saw me doing social media influencing and like this one creator, and I don't remember who this creator is now, but she was basically in her kitchen making shit, and she was like funny and would say outrageous shit.
And that
unhinged.
Was well before and that was even on your radar.
And that, like, to me, I was like, what would I be doing? But like cooking, yeah, mm-hmm. but like doing what? It was not even close to my radar. So then when I started doing it, I was like, I had the epiphany one day. I was like, this is what she was talking about.
Wow.
Like, she was like, she's like, you need to do the, like, this is, it's calling you. Like, this is what you should be doing.
All right. Yeah. Find me her stuff.
I will. Yeah.
Find me. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one is called Two Past Lives. And this was actually on a BBC broadcast.
Okay.
This one. A 3-year-old Thai boy named Dala Wong became the focus of many studies and articles after he claimed to have had two past lives, one of which he was a deer killed by a hunter, and then another one as a cobra when he was reincarnated after his death. We haven't talked about that yet, where you come back as a human.
Yeah, so again, it's funny because I'm actually doing an audiobook right now called Signs, where it talks about the other side, like sending you signs and things. And also from what is that podcast, the telepathy tapes, both of them kind of say the same thing, that you can choose to come back as an animal if you want. But a lot of times, like, animals like to remain animals.
And people like to remain people.
But it does cross
it does
over.
Crossover.
It does happen sometimes, yeah.
I wonder what would make you want to do it the other way.
Because you fucking hated being a human?
Maybe.
Or you looked up to being a human and wanted to try it out? Because it is, like, allegedly the ultimate.
So that just means spirits are spirits.
Spirits, regardless
of anything else.
Yep. Yeah.
Hmm. While he was a snake, Dalawang found himself in a life or death fight with two dogs. The dog owner intervened and killed the snake, aka Dalawang, but not before the reptile bit him on the shoulder. The dog owner, Mr. Hugh, took the dead snake home, cooked and ate it, and shared some of the meat with a friend. That friend would become Dalawang's father. Fast forward to 3 years after his birth, the young boy recognized Mr. Hugh at a party taking place next door to his own house. He became instantly angry and tried to find a weapon to attack the man. Dalawang's mother was stunned at her child's anger and forced him to tell her what was happening. He related the snake tale to her, and when she confronted Mr. Hugh, he confirmed that he had indeed killed a snake a few years prior and that he had a mark from where the snake had bitten him on the shoulder. Before this incident, human Dalawang and his family had never met Mr. Hugh.
Whoa.
So they met him, and then he knew this whole story, and then Mr. Hugh confirmed it.
Damn.
That one's weird. That's short, but that one.
But it's short, but it just is like shows the. I don't know. Like, how do you explain that though?
How
do you explain that? That's the thing.
I know kids know things, right? Kids know things, but it's so bizarre.
But they know things because it's because the
veil is thin.
And like they said, when I was asking, like I asked ChatGPT to shorten it, gave me a little thing at the end, just saying that. Like, one of the biggest things with past life regressions, that is, not regressions, but, like, just past life experiences is that children will talk about it up until, seven or eight, and then it is, they forget it. It's gone.
Well, and a lot of religions, like in Mormonism, the age of eight is the age of accountability. So I wonder if, you know, like, that's when you get baptized because that's when you are said to be able to differentiate between right and wrong, which I think that's a little bit young, but it's that age.
Yes.
That age,
it's
that 8 year old
kind
age.
Of like clicks in the right spot. Well, maybe my child will literally get there one day.
May, right?
Yeah. Because I want her to learn between right and wrong right now. So, okay. Should I do a Reddit one or one more?
Do one more.
Like twin, or yeah. Like I have one about twins.
Yeah. Ooh, do
okay,
that one.
On. Give me 1 second. It's going to take me a second to pull it up. This one also has a picture. So this is the story of the Pollock twins. So in 1957, in a small English town of Hexham, two little girls, Joanna, age 11, and Jacqueline, age 6, were walking to church with a friend. A car veered into the sidewalk and both girls were killed. Their parents.
Oh, I think I've heard this one.
Yeah. I've heard this one.
Yeah.
John and Florence Pollock were devastated. But there's something important about their father, John. He firmly believed in reincarnation, and his wife did not. In fact, she was deeply religious and rejected the idea entirely.
Maybe that's where I get it from.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like rejected in mainstream religion.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. A year after the accident, Florence became pregnant again. Doctors told him, oh, there's another. This just remind me of the story of a woman who lost all of her kids in a car accident.
We'll talk about that one after.
Remind me of that. Mm-hmm. A year after the accident, Florence became pregnant again. The doctors told them it was one baby. John insisted it would be twins, and the girls were coming back. In 1958, Florence gave birth to twin girls, Jillian and Jennifer.
That poor mother, though.
I know.
Like, that just had to fuck with your brain a lot.
Yep. From the beginning, there were odd details. Jennifer, the younger twin, was born with two birthmarks, one on her forehead, the exact spot where Jacqueline had a scar from falling into the bucket years earlier. Another on her hip that resembled a mark that Jacqueline had on her body. As the twins grew, the parents noticed something else. When they were about 3 years old, they were given toys that had belonged to Joanna and Jacqueline, and the toys had been packed away and not discussed. The twins immediately claimed them. That's mine, one would say, and the other would say a doll named correctly, a name that had belonged to the older sister's toy. The parents insisted that they had never told them, and then came their fear of cars. When a car would approach from behind, the twins would cling to each other and scream, "The car is coming for us." They were toddlers and had never been told the details of how their older sisters had died. At one point, the family drove through Hexham, the town where the accident had happened, and the twins began to recognize landmarks. They pointed towards where their older sisters had attended school and described it as if they had been there before.
Oh, my gosh.
And then there's personality traits. Jillian, the older twin, showed behavior similar to Joanna, confident and protective. Jennifer, the younger twin, was more sensitive, like Jacqueline had been. But this is where it gets complicated. Their father believed in reincarnation before they were born. He openly spoke about it. Some critics argue that he may have intentionally influenced them. Others point out that the grief can shape perception, and the devastated parents can see patterns of normal childhood behavior. There's another important detail. As the twins grew older, the memories faded, which we, you know, that's standard. Yeah. By the time they were around 5 or 6, the statement stopped and the fear of cars diminished. They no longer insisted that they were older girls. They became Jillian and Jennifer. But years later, as adults, the twins said that they had vague memories of talking about the sisters, but no strong emotional attachment to it.
Huh.
So basically, yeah, I mean, that's it. So
that one's interesting.
And then, I mean, it's just a picture of them. Like, I have a picture of them from it. But yeah, so with that, there is a story that happened. This happened probably like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to find it now because to me, it's insane. So here's.
Wow. That's their sisters. And yep, then that's them.
Yeah.
I mean, they are sisters. Yeah. So there's that. But there's like, it's like two sets of twins.
Yeah. Just, well, it's kind of like Shannon and I were always like kind of like twins, even though we weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're Irish twins. Well, almost. Yeah. Not quite, but almost.
Oh, 13 months as an Irish.
You have to be under 12.
Oh, well, I close mean, enough.
You're pretty much there. Your poor mother.
Oh, I know. Okay. Mothers.
I wonder if that's why I have such a fear, like an irrational fear of sharks.
Yeah.
I was probably eaten by a shark or drowned or something.
If you have like certain scars in places, if you have like a weird markings of like, or not scars, birthmarks, freckles, so many things can be from your past life, like, and how you died, or like fears, like irrational fears also can be of that.
I was eaten by a shark.
You were eaten by a shark. I'm convinced I was like pew-pewed in a past life.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've always thought that, and I don't know why, but I have. Really fast. I want to find this story because it's insane. I just need to make sure. Yeah. So basically, oh, so fucking sad. So,
we're going to talk about babies dying again.
It's not babies, but
your children are babies.
I know. Back in 2007, this woman, she had 3 children. They were 5, 4, and 2, and they passed away in a car accident.
Oh my God.
And she was left without any kids. And then they got pregnant with triplets.
Oh, my
God. And
gosh.
Had triplets. And so now the triplets are, God, how old are they now? So this is 2007. They are, I don't even know. You can see them
so
here.
They're like 16, 17 years old.
But,
or a little bit older.
Then, like, this happened like 2 weeks ago. Their mom just passed away from brain cancer.
My God.
I just saw it in the news. So when I said it, it reminded me of that. But this is like similar thing. Like, they had 3 kids die.
Yeah.
That they weren't all in age, but all of their children died. They get pregnant again with three triplets.
In one. Yeah.
Like, how?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 2 boys and a girl.
And that's what they, oh my goodness.
That's too much to not be coincidence.
It is. It is.
Like, it's.
Because that's just bizarre.
It's bizarre. And it's like, and it happens a lot. I don't know.
This one is called Toddler Recalls Past Life Murder.
Oh God.
Yeah. A very unnerving story caused an uproar in 2014 when it was reported that that a 3-year-old Syrian boy had pointed out where his past life's body had been buried after he was murdered. He also pointed out the weapon. I want to talk about that. We're all over the world.
All over the world.
This is not just like an American phenomenon. In fact, it's probably less so here than it is in other, because it's more accepted in other countries.
Yeah, when I was looking at, there's like a big major one that there's a documentary out about in India about a girl.
That's a big one.
Yeah, and then there's another one in, you did one, where was the one you did, that first story?
I don't remember.
Whatever, somewhere over in Asia. I feel like there's one from Thailand. I mean,
I did one from Thailand, and then this one is Syria.
Yeah.
Then you did one from England and Oklahoma.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. It's everywhere. The boy, who belongs to the Druze ethnic group, has a long red birthmark on his forehead, which, according to Druze beliefs, is related to how a person died in a previous life.
Mm-hmm.
This belief was seemingly substantiated by the boy, who told his parents that he had been killed by an axe to the head in a previous life,
hence
the birthmark. The elders of the village the boy stayed in took him to the home he lived in during his past life, getting the location from the details the boy gave. Eventually, standing in front of the house, the boy remembered the house, the village, and his old name. The man whose house it was had gone missing 4 years earlier, according to locals. When the elders quizzed the boy about this turn of events, he told them the full name of the person who had killed him when he was the man who lived in the house. He then led the elders to the spot where the body was buried, and sure enough, they uncovered a skeleton with a head wound that correlated to the boy's birthmark as well as the axe.
Holy
when confronted by elders, locals, the killer confessed to the crime soon after.
That is insane.
What? Did she sneeze?
Jandice?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't hear it. It's either that or a ghosty friend hanging out.
And then I got a weird feeling.
Ooh, well, maybe it's a ghosty. I've been having weird, like,
feelings. I almost had to stop reading that.
Yeah. I've been having, there's something in my house right now. I don't know who it is. But I don't know who it is. And I need to cleanse. I just saw a thing that using sage, cleansing your house with sage is actually an air purifier.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And
Come get some sage from me. I have some.
I have a bunch of it. I got given some to burn. So this is a past life experience in ancient Rome, or from ancient Rome. And
okay, so now we're in history and in Rome.
Well, yeah. And so this is a Reddit story. So I can't read the person's name. It's like, I don't know. It's too weird. Okay. Mm-hmm. So greetings. This is my first time commenting on this subreddit, and I just wanted to share a bit of my experience. Interestingly enough, I've been drawn to Greco, yeah, Greco-Roman culture. You know that feeling when you're attracted to a time and a religion that literally has nothing to do with you?
Egypt.
Okay, that's funny, because I've always been drawn to Egypt, and I've also always been drawn to Greek mythology. Those are two, like, big ones.
Mine is Egypt and, like, anything Celtic, Druid, that sort of thing.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
I've had dreams of past lives, and I'm sure that it was my first life, or perhaps one of the ones that I miss the most. Everyone always tells me that I have an old soul, and I've had dreams of many of my lives. First a philosopher, a teacher in ancient Rome, the woman who worked in the government, and then a doctor. And at least those are the ones I'm sure of. Interestingly enough, they're all connected.
How can you be sure?
I'm unsure. I don't know if he's going to tell us, because I've skimmed this, but I haven't gotten to it. And I don't know if it's like because he went to a past life regressionist and they told you, or like, and maybe that's why he's sure.
I mean,
of
if
it.
You have memories, but.
Or like, maybe he's just very spiritual.
How do you know what's a memory and
knows.
Just what's
a
thought?
I know. Well, I feel like I struggle with that all the time when I hear people talking about getting downloads. And I'm like, how do I know what's mine and what's not? And you're supposed to, you're supposed to just trust your gut. Okay.
My gut just wants tacos.
I mean, same. Oh, God. Anyways.
We're doing McTaco for Valentine's Day. We all decided.
What?
McTaco.
What's McTaco?
That's when we get McDonald's for whoever wants McDonald's and Taco Bell for whoever wants Taco Bell.
Fantastic. I want a taco box. So, or something. I actually want caviar. I told Tex, but we'll
caviar.
See. I love caviar. Yeah.
Didn't you have that recently for something?
We had it for Susie's like engagement a little while ago.
Susie. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Yeah. But Tex was like, I don't like caviar. I was like, well, you don't have to eat it. Mm. I want it. A taco box. That actually would make my life happy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyways. Mm-hmm. So since I was little, I had my dream was to be a doctor. I was fascinated and amazed by the human body. I watched documentaries about the body and even read medical articles. Finally, with pre-adolescence, came my fascination with the Greco-Roman mythology. Believe me, when I read about the destruction, the fall of deities, and the destroyed temples, the statues, it's an emotion that weighs heavily on my chest.
That sounds like
a shared sadness. How can anyone cry over a broken statue of deities? I know I was a teacher of some kind of philosopher in ancient Rome. I don't know what my name was, but I know I was against the religious reform. I know I continued teaching as long as I was allowed, and after all of my dreams, I've always been persecuted for knowing too much and teaching too much. That's what happened to me back then. Because of the vivid dream I took as a past life, I remember fleeing with my manuscripts from the Roman soldiers. I also remember the Great Temple of Delphi destroyed and sand around... sand around it as it remains scattered as I kneel and feel the sun beating down on my back like it was a divine sign. Plot twist, I am currently an advanced student in teacher in training with a degree in literature specializing in mythology on my own and sharing my knowledge on Instagram. Anyways, I'm happy because I've begun to accept the Hellenistic polytheism. That's what I said. And somehow
means I think it means like multiple gods.
Yeah, and somehow feel at peace within me. It is as if something has suddenly fallen into place and filled me completely. So
that's interesting. I mean, I'm not going to take away his experience.
No,
it could be you really enjoy it,
right?
And you're studying it.
Well, and that's what they say though is when you're drawn to something for no reason, that's why. So, like,
why am I drawn to ghosties? I've died so many times.
Yeah, because we're on the side that is what we are learning now. is the actual fucking normal side, and that the rest of the world has been taught that this kind of shit, or especially the United States, is bullshit. Or like that this is all...
Wait, in what way? What way are we bullshit? Oh, like, in that way. Oh, okay.
But it's now come out, like, the files. But the shit that has come out of that about paranormal stuff, too, like, there's stuff that's tied into that that made me realize that, like, I'm like, holy fuck, we're right. Everyone else is the woo-woo ones who've just believed
everything. Would that be in the files?
It ties into different things. I can explain it later. I don't want to talk about the files, but I can... There's been some shit, yes.
I saw something about, like, all these cures for cancer, too. Yes. And I don't know what's bullshit and what's not,
there
you
was
know?
Actually...
So I'd have to actually look at it.
So this is legit. I saw an article from Canada about this that...
I do love Canadians.
Me, too. They have now renounced any U.S. medical research as not... Denounced? What if, like, it's not...
Renounced.
Yeah. Renounced, yeah. Yeah. It's not fact... Like, they're not using it as credible things anymore. And then multiple countries have now released cures for different kinds of cancer after we left the WHO, the WHO, the whatever it is, the World Health Organization.
Are you saying it's a good thing we didn't... Are you saying it's a good thing we left it?
Well, I'm saying that we obviously were the ones suppressing shit for some reason, because we... Our health insurance keeps people sick.
Well, I mean, what if they could sell a cure for whatever?
Health insurance would not.
Right. Versus 5, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 10 years of treatment.
Treatment. And,
what makes more money?
Yeah, well, duh. And that's why they're here to keep us.
I hate it.
There's so much more.
I hate it. Okay,
I got on the files side of things, and then I started pulling up some of the things and reading some of the shit myself, and it is every other country right now is in complete, like, tearing down their leaders who are in it, and we are the only country that's like...
Oh, my God.
Because there's some fucking nasty shit in there, like, stuff that is
We're not going to talk about this anymore, but...
So insane.
We are
going to
talk about it. We are going to talk about it.
I wish I didn't find out some of the stuff that I did. And it's all coming from the fucking files. It's not like hearsay. This is like
from
the files.
But I want to know why. Like, what is it about these things that has all this info?
I will tell you.
Okay.
It's basically what happens when men get too much money.
Everything bad? Mm-hmm. Everything bad. Is Bigfoot real? Is that going to come out?
I don't know about Bigfoot for sure. Oh. But it...
I would like that. But, like it too. But interdimensional travel, perhaps that, and then there's Bigfoot.
Yep. 1,000%.
Okay, we need to, like, sit and chill.
I haven't spoken out loud a lot of the stuff that I, like, have seen and that I'm, like, because I think to wrap your head around it is...
Hard.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
No, it's, like, impossible. Like, but there... So many things, like, what is the other...
What's, like, what's the difference between a conspiracy and a conspiracy theory?
Uh-huh.
About 3 weeks?
Yeah. And that's, I feel like, everything that we have ever thought to be a conspiracy right now... is coming out as truth.
This is just because of men in power. On this note, I'm going to do a quick PSA. The Ring app just announced this really cool thing called Search Party. Like, if you miss your dog, like, if your dog goes missing, like, they can activate your Ring and have, quote, AI, unquote, locate missing dogs.
AKA track you.
And
other
like
people.
They can just access your Ring camera. And when I said it to my husband, he goes, it's something you probably have to enroll in. So I looked, I was automatically enrolled.
Yep.
So if you have a Ring app, which I may actually just get rid of the Ring app because I found some different options where you own it. It doesn't go to another company.
Yeah.
I might. And I'll let you know what I find.
Let me know, because that's what I love the Ring app for, like, what it is.
Right. I like what I have. I don't want anybody else to be looking through it.
No. And that's like, we can tell them to go fuck themselves.
And I've heard the argument of, well, you know, you get notifications all the time of, hey, I saw this person came to my door and took a package. Do you know who it is? Yeah, but that's something that I can put out into the – I can choose to put that out into the world.
Also, someone made a very good point about – like, this has to do with all of this, like, the files and all of this. Like, why is it that just as the files are getting released and all of this stuff, that AI got so good that anything could be AI? Like, like the coincidence of the timeline of shift.
To give you doubt.
To doubt everything. Mm-hmm. To make it look like... Mm-hmm. I also have theories about shit that went down on the Super Bowl that's tied into this.
So you're saying we need a McTaco night.
We need a McTaco night, because I have a lot. I was talking to my sister about some of the Super Bowl stuff, and because, yeah, I just have, there's a lot of theories.
God.
Look at us, conspiracy theorists.
Well, we've been
all
that
the way.
For a long
yeah, we've been
time.
That for a
but
long
now
time.
Now I fear that it's no longer conspiracy theorists. This is like
the shit that's happening in our world,
and it's kind of terrifying. I don't look into it unless you want to, like, not sleep. I wish that I could go back to what I didn't know. Don't look at it.
Well, now I need my Ring app to make sure that no, or some sort of camera to make sure that no Men in Black are showing up at my door.
I mean, honestly, yeah. Yeah. We'll figure out something.
Okay.
We're going to find a different app.
Compound.
Okay.
Middle of the woods.
Yes. I thought you were saying Compound. I was like, what's that app? Yes, a compound is exactly
middle
what
of the woods.
Need. Yes.
Yeah, maybe with a moat. Some alligators in there.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yes.
I don't,
barracudas. Barracudas.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But those are saltwater, huh? Piranhas. No. Barracudas are, yes, they are saltwater. I saw one swimming in the Bahamas.
But in The Sword and the Stone, when he was a little squirrel and then he fell into the water and became a little fish.
Hold your hand when I tell you this.
Wasn't that a barracuda?
But maybe they were close to the ocean.
Maybe. But also, it was England.
Well, barracudas are, a saltwater fish. You can Google it.
Well, no, I believe you, but I'm
maybe they have freshwater versions, but I just know that they're a saltwater fish.
Wasn't that a barracuda?
I don't remember, but I feel like yes. I feel like it was a barracuda.
Hang on.
How many times do we say barracuda? There we go. Barracuda. Yeah, oceans. Atlantic.
Yes, there are freshwater fish commonly called barracudas, but they're not true saltwater, these South Americans. Okay, so it's in South America. So what did Disney feed me?
Whatever the fuck it decided to. Whatever it wanted to.
It also told me frogs could sing and dance.
I mean,
so.
It told us a lot of things. Honestly.
That's the most disappointing thing about growing up after watching all these Disney princess movies is that the little animals don't become my friends.
I know.
Or help me clean my house.
Right? Where the
Who
fucking
needs
mice
Prince
and
Charming?
No,
like,
fuck that shit.
I don't need that. I need the mice and birds to clean my house.
I just had this conversation with my sister. I was like, I need someone who comes into my house every day and just like cleans up behind me, but I don't know that they're there. And they just like, it just magically goes back. And now you're saying that. I'm like, yeah, that's what I need. A Disney princess status, like little animals. I need Jandis.
Can you manage Jandy Bears
me.
And like a little French maid outfit?
Her and poppy pants and them cleaning up behind me?
Yes.
Jandis, you would be a professional.
Oh, she's frogging. She is frogging.
No, she's got her chicken thigh out. That's what we call it. Her
chicken
thigh.
We always call Burrito used to do that and we said he was frogging because he looks like a little frog.
Well, she only does one side.
Oh, the other side's not frogged out?
No, the other side's tucked under. It's just the one. It's always that one.
Anybody listening is like, what the fuck are they talking about?
My dog lays down and she has her back leg just like sticking out behind her, but she's very fluffy and it looks like a drumstick.
And her little tail is down, which is usually a big curlicue.
But if you go, her name is Jandis. Are you sleeping that hard? Jan D Bears. All right, she's snoozing.
She
just
is
kidding.
out like a
tail
light.
What's up when I talk? But
all right, this one is called Past Life During World War II. During her pregnancy, when Da I Tin had a recurring dream about a Japanese soldier who told her he would be coming to stay with her and her husband in the Upper Burma Myanmar home, she gave birth to her daughter, I'm going to just say Ma Tin, on December 26, 1953, when her daughter turned 4, she started talking about her real home of Japan and how much she missed it. She also made it known that she was afraid of planes and didn't like English and American people. Ooh. I mean, get in line. Not a lot of people like us.
Yeah. I don't like
that. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. My thing went weird.
Oh, dear.
Wait. A reincarnated llama. What? I might have to read that one next.
Oh, my God.
Where'd it go?
I could come back as a llama with the weird eyes and the
spit on people.
Yeah, honestly, that would be slay.
Right? Okay, eventually it became clear to the mother. That was written funny. Eventually it became clear to her mother that her daughter had lived before. Details provided by Ma Tin as she grew older included being a male soldier stationed in Nathul during World War II and running a small shop to provide for her children. Her children, but she was a soldier? Were women allowed to be soldiers in Japan?
I don't know.
She was killed when the Allies attacked and a soldier shot her from a plane.
Oh, God.
That was a little bit of a weird written one.
Yeah,
but
Here,
I'm going to do the reincarnated llama.
I'm that curious.
One's next. In 1996, 4-year-old Sonam Wangu was just another happy boy who loved watching Batman and Spider-Man cartoons as well as Power Rangers. However, Sonam was anything but an ordinary child.
He was recognized and revered by the Buddhist community in Nepal and Tibet as a reincarnated lama. At the time, the boy was living in Seattle, but it was decided that the boy would travel to Kathmandu for his formal education and that afterward he would live in a monastery. He was given the name Trokhu La, which means reincarnation in Tibetan. He was believed to be the reincarnation of the beloved Lama Desheng Rinpoche III, who taught at the University of Washington and co-founded the monastery in Seattle. I don't think this is the right kind of Lama. Are we talking about like the Dalai Lama?
I fear that that would be
the readers or the listeners probably got this well before, and we're just here. Ba-ba-do-ba-do.
I didn't even get it until you said that. I was like, wait,
at the University of Washington?
I'm like, are we
I want to go to that class.
Yeah, like, is this Wicked?
Oh,
idiots.
Oh, man.
Oh, solid.
Rinpoche was believed to have been the third reincarnation of the original Lama, Desheng Rinpoche III, who lived in Tibet. Desheng Rinpoche III was also told two of his students that he would be reborn in Seattle area after his death. Trokhu La had already had his enthronement ceremony 2 years before leaving for Kathmandu and would be separated from his mother for the first 8 years of his education. His mother, Carolyn, had no qualms about seeing her son go off without her because she knew that he was special and she only wanted the best for him. I was really hoping it was an actual llama.
I mean, same. Because, and then I was like, how do they know all of this? And then, like, teaching, we're in Wicked, like how the
ghost is happening. You could probably, like, I want to watch that back and, like, see the cogs turning.
Like, at one point, I was like, what? It all makes sense.
That makes sense now.
Okay, mm-hmm. I have another Reddit one. This one is about, like, she did a meditation and thinks she met herself.
Oh.
A past life version of herself, which I've heard you can do.
Okay, now that really, but when you ask like cards or things like that, you're supposed to be talking to your higher self,
mm-hmm.
which that I also have a hard time wrapping my brain around.
Well, your higher self is essentially like that your soul that can be multiple places at once,
but is separate from you.
No, because your soul
or can be.
What do you mean can be like separate from you?
How
like,
can you have a conversation with it?
Well, like when you're in that higher space, mm-hmm. it's like. Separate from you, but you're talking. Yeah, you're like talking to yourself essentially.
I do that all the time anyway.
I mean, so do I. 24/7. I was talking to myself last night, and I like said something to myself. Like I was in bed, and I was like, "Go the fuck to sleep, Raina." Like out loud, just because I was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" I saw what time it was, and I didn't realize Tex was awake. And he's like, "What did you say?" And I was like, "Nothing. Just ignore me, please. Just." You know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. really good at talking
I was working out this morning and I was singing my heart out because that's how I get through it.
Yeah.
And my daughter's like, what are you doing? She didn't know I had my earbuds in.
I just talk to myself all day and I'll just like, sometimes I was in a store the other day and I realized I was talking to myself.
Oh,
out loud,
whoopsie
and I was
doodles.
Like, oh God, Raina, just get it together.
Get it together.
Don't do
get
that.
It together. We don't do that around other people.
No. God, it was embarrassing. Ugh. I was like, shut up. Why are you talking? Because I was like going through a list. I was like, okay, I need. And I was like. Do it in your head.
In the head.
Do it in your head.
Inside thoughts.
Inside thoughts. All right. So I wanted to share something that happened a year ago. I had a vision of a past life during a meditation session. At first, I figured it was just my imagination, but it all came to me so fluidly and out of nowhere, and I realized there was no way I could have just made the whole story up. I sometimes ask myself questions during a meditation. When the main question here was, why does my throat always feel so tight? The answers came to me. The answers that came to me were really intense, and I saw that I used to be a woman from Madagascar. That's also my origin, but I am not born here. That's also my origin, but I'm not born here. I was some kind of healer soul. I am not 100% sure what my mission involved, but what does that mean? Sorry, reading someone else's writing.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? But that was my role. And she's saying to everybody, like, maybe you have an idea. Anyway, I was seen as a witch. A group of women ended up kidnapping me and locking me in a room, tying me up and beating me. In the end, they killed me, cutting my throat. The crazy thing is I didn't die feeling scared. Not at all. I was actually proud of who I was. I was the kind of woman that would never hide her abilities, even with a literal knife to her throat. And she says, it reminds me of June in the Handmaid's Tale series, where mm-hmm. someone who refuses to sit back or, like, back down or look away. What makes me really believe it was past life is the feeling I get now. Whenever I say her name in my head or try and connect with her, I'm hit with this insane wave of confidence like I've never felt before in my life. Feels like invincibility. It gives me the strength to stand tall and own the fact that I do shiatsu. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Shiatsu? Even when people are skeptical or call it pseudoscience. Or maybe think I am a charlatan. I struggle a lot with feeling legitimate, she says. My mm-hmm. voice feels steady and powerful. It honestly feels like I've reactivated something deep inside of me. And it also kind of explains why I've always felt a bit uneasy around other women, maybe. Maybe I'm losing it. Who knows? But either way, it's been a huge boost for me and it's not hurting anyone. Just a wild, wild, powerful sensation.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've heard that you can do that. That you can, like, try and go meet yourself on a different timeline, essentially.
I want to do that.
Yeah.
I was told once by a medium that I was hanged.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to conform to... I was a woman who was hanged because I didn't want to conform. And I do wonder if that's why sometimes I have a hard time expressing myself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hanged by the throat. Mm-hmm. So.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. It's all those things that you, like, you know, you start to think about things that are common in your day-to-day life. And you're like, this could relate to something in a past. And that's, you know, reaching, but at the same time, at this point, I don't feel like anything is a reach. And
well, now, like, especially over the last few weeks, like, is anything a reach?
No.
Mm-mm.
And it's terrifying. I don't like any of it.
I'm going to read one more.
Okay.
When James Arthur Flowerdew was 12 years old, he began having strange dreams. These dreams were blurry and vague when they first started, but over time, they became a clear picture. As he continued to dream, he saw a stone city carved into a cliff and various temples inside the city. He also saw rock shapes shaped like a volcano situated on the fringes of the stone city. Arthur didn't know what to make of these dreams and tried to ignore them. On one particular day, Arthur visited the beach with his family. As he was playing around with pebbles, he bent down to pick them up. A vision slammed into his head. It was the city of his dreams. So intense was this vision that he could smell dry desert air. Dropping the pebbles made the image dissipate, leaving Arthur at a loss for words. He revisited the beach a short time later to see if the vision would happen again, and as soon as he picked up one of the pebbles, it did. He saw more details the second time, such as a stone passage and military barracks. For the first time, Arthur started thinking that he may have been a soldier in this city and had been killed there by a spear. Arthur never had any explanations for his experiences. Many years later, when he was an old man, Arthur watched a documentary about the ancient city of Petra in Jordan. He instantly realized that this was his city of dreams, and he'd become convinced that he had lived there in a past life. He contacted the BBC, who arranged an interview between Arthur and an archaeologist. The archaeologist was flabbergasted when he discovered how much knowledge Arthur had of the ancient city without ever having been there in his current life. Eventually, the Jordanian government invited Arthur to visit Petra. Arthur found his way around the city without the help of a guide or map and pointed out sites that hadn't been excavated yet. He talked about a military barrack where he worked with a check-in system for guards, and even provided facts about the area that experts were not aware of.
Damn.
That's a good one.
That is a good
one. And that one's, like, corroborated by their own government and archaeologists.
Cool.
That one's a good one.
Yeah, there are so many, like, when I started looking it up, that are corroborated by, like...
Mm-hmm. Like history.
History. Mm-hmm. And, like, things that they're, like, this... Obviously, anything you can be like, well, there
right. I can research the shit out of anything, but
yeah, but there. I mean, so many. Again, I just don't believe that there's such thing as coincidences. Like these mm-hmm. things happen. Like they're, it's too insane.
Yeah.
To be like far fetched.
I like that one.
Yeah,
and he went through it his whole life. Like that was an older man who still had these memories,
which is crazy. Yeah, that, like we said that.
That doesn't happen mm-hmm. all the time.
Insane. Well, damn. Well, if you've ever had a past life regression or know your past self or know something, I don't know, let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Ones. If anybody wants us to do another episode on this, too, we can dig in and find some more fun ones. It was this was a good one.
That we need to do the Mandela effect. Should that be a wild, weird, and unknown, or should we do both? Should we do like an episode on it and then a wild, weird, and unknown and pull up stories of people who have experienced the Mandela effect?
I feel like we should both research Mandela effect and do it where, like, similar to what this is, but and not necessarily make it a wild, weird, and unknown, but like.
No matter what, you have to have people's experiences in there because that's part of the Mandela effect.
Yeah, so it could technically be a wild, weird, and unknown.
Like but maybe not officially.
I mean, does it really matter?
Who's in charge here? Yeah.
Who's in charge
here? It's us.
So we can just make it a wild, weird, and unknown. But we can both just go into it, like, just looking up different Mandela effects and bring them up and try and not, like, you know, we'll be like, hey, I'm going to take X, Y, and Z. You take X, Y, and Z and make sure we don't cross over the same ones. But
I like it. That would be fun.
Yeah. So if you guys have a Mandela effect you want us to cover, let us know. If you've experienced something, there's so many of them.
Yeah. There's so many of them.
I know. It's wild.
We should do an episode on CERN, too.
Okay. There's so many things that I kind of want to do episodes on. Like I told you, I want to do ones about giants and I want to do ones about dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Because both of those things also want to do ones about cats. That's my newest fixation is like cats and how insane they are and how they supposedly can interdimensional travel.
Obviously.
And how I just read a thing that they're...
I don't know. My cat won't even stand up all the way to drink. He'll just kind of put his paw in the water and
tell the people what your cat did.
Oh, God. So there's a landing at the top of my stairs, and I usually sit there and do laundry. And the balcony is right there and the railing that goes downstairs. And so Salem likes to sit on top of the balcony, and I hate it because He's a little clumsy, and he's kind of he's very big boned.
He's very big boned.
Very big boned.
He's
big boned.
He's large.
Very fluffy.
Very fluffy.
And so I hate it. I hate when he sits up there. But whatever. He's a cat. He's coordinated, right? So I'm sitting there. He tries to stand up, and he slips. And all of a sudden, he's like, and like I see him go down. And I'm like, Salem! And I stand up and I look over the balcony thinking that he fell.
Uh-huh.
And he is holding on for dear life to the banister, eyes looking at me as big as saucers, sliding down. It was like a slow motion moment, and he's just sliding down, staring at me with these big eyes. And I just lost my mind.
I just started crying,
laughing so hard.
He is a special, special cat.
But he hasn't sat on the banister yet.
Well, lesson learned for now. Well, that's, we came out to our little podcast studio, and I have a bunch of curtains up around that I've stapled on. Mm-hmm. And somehow they have... A few of them had fallen down, and it's from my cat, Poppy, who climbs every fucking curtain in this house and puts holes in them. And she has come into our studio. She loves to play in the garage. She's such an asshole.
Mm, yeah. But a cute one.
So cute.
She's so cute. So naughty.
But all right. Well, you guys, let us know if you got any Mandela effects, anything exciting.
Any past lives.
Past lives, anything like that.
Anything you want us to cover.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
But make sure you go and get yourself some lunatic soup.
Or some ginger beer with caffeine and lime.
Delicious.
It's delicious.
Yep.
And remember, in this crazy world,
it's good to be a lunatic.
Bye.
Bye.